Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Carpaccio, sell. Carpaccio, sell. Carpaccio, sell. Carpaccio, sell. Carpaccio, sell. Carpaccio, sell.
Carpaccio. On WGR.
Just because I just got the notification on my phone, I'll throw in here, Julio Jones back at practice for Tennessee. He's missed, is it two games maybe? A.J. Brown back after missing one last week. Mike Shope and the Bulldog on the West Her Hotline. Pleased, as always, to be joined by our own Sal Capaccio. Sal, I'm assuming someone already got to you, maybe even in the moment, to tell you that they saw you on TV Sunday night?
It depends which time. Usually that happens, but you might be referring to Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Almost running me over.
Yes.
Yeah.
You joined a long list of people who could not bring down Tyreek Hill.
Yes, I had several text messages on that one.
You know, that's got to be fun to get to have that happen. That's how you find out.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I don't know when people are like, hey, I just saw you. Because I'm like, oh, they must have had a replay on something like that. And then sometimes you know the play is right there, but might just cut off where the camera is. But that one was pretty good. He was coming pretty fast. And when those guys are going fast, I don't know to go left or right or back or forward. I don't want to run into the guy. You know, mm-hmm. That's the last thing you want. The last thing I ever want is to be on TV because I ran into someone and, you know, caused them injury or something like that because, you know, they tripped over my leg or something like that.
Or that you end up down.
I could handle that much more than the first part of what I just said.
I agree. You'd rather be the one.
Sure. But still, all that poor guy over
yes,
there.
Yes, but
right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Well, that had to be a pretty memorable night.
It was great. It really was. It was a great atmosphere. You know, the only thing that was a damper was, you know, monitoring and, you know, trying to keep an eye on the weather all night, knowing for a couple of days what was going to happen. We knew it was going to rain at some point. There had already been talk about possible delays. Pat Hammer came on Friday and my show, and he was bang on. He said it. He said he thinks it's going to be dry around kickoff, right around halftime. We could start to see stuff. Sure enough, halftime was when the lightning delay happened. But otherwise, you know, it was just a really good football game to be a part of and to be on the field for because it was intense. It was one of those games where I don't know if it really translated through the television how intense it was. It was chippy. After a lot of plays, there was a lot of extracurriculars going on. And when you go back and watch, I know there was a lot of All-22 clips going on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And people could see things like that. I mean, one of my big takeaways, guys, is the Bills went into that game with a mindset of we are not taking any crap from these guys. Like, we are going to show them that we are going to physically beat them up or at least do not allow them any room to do that to us whatsoever.
Do you feel like, I mean, you were there, so you would have seen that. I guess it wasn't until now, just, you know, a day or two later, watching some of the clips I'm seeing, that I'm maybe noticing that. Like, I wonder, I don't know, Mike, did you notice that on TV? Did you think the Bills were really physical, like statement physical watch? I don't know if it shows up on TV. It might be something you need to be there to see is what I'm getting at.
Well, you're asking me. I think so, but I think that's what winning can look like, too, when you're up.
Yeah.
Like that. You just see more energy, and so that's what that can look like. But I also accept that, you know, what Sal is saying, that you've got that clip, this might be the one you're thinking of most, where Trey White throws Travis Kelce to the field on, what was it, the second play of the game? Like, I didn't see that on Sunday night. But, like, I mean, yeah, they were super – obviously they were super hungry for that game, that opponent, and maybe the Chiefs didn't really match that, which, you know, kind of sort of makes sense human nature-wise, right? They've beaten the Bills, so you can understand why the Bills would be like more geared up.
Yeah, right. I think the Bills felt they had something to prove in that regard after last year in the AFC Championship game. I think that they were physically beaten by Kansas City in that game. And to me, like, I don't know this. Like, I'm not in the locker room all week or before the game. I would not doubt that there was a premium put on, you will not back down in this game. We will not do that. We will show them that we're going to come here and we're going to physically beat them. They can try to play their finesse, throw it around football and all this speed. Well, guess what? They're going to have to pay a price for it tonight. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking of now in retrospect that was probably happening. There was somebody had something to say every play. Somebody had something to say every play. I mean, even so much, I'm going back and rewatching. There was a play early on where, like, Stephon Diggs catches a pass, he's crossing over, and he puts his shoulder into Sorenstam. Like, instead of just running out of bounds, he made it a point to me to put his shoulder into him. I think that was intentional. I think the Bills intentionally tried to make that statement on Sunday night and they won their one-on-one matchups all around the field.
How about the coordinators in this game, Sal? Both of them. And you can lump McDermott in with Leslie Frazier to whatever extent we should. I mean, you know, he's a defensive coach. But the plans on both sides of the ball, just, you know, there are many, many words being written about the job, especially on offense. I read today a long piece about just how diverse they were compared to the first four games, just how different from the first four games of this year and even last year they were. The use of Gilliam, for example, and just, you know, Knox's ascendance. Like, it seems like the Bills had something in their hip pocket for this week, and I wonder how long that was in the making. Do you have any idea how long? I suggested yesterday in talking with Mike, and I'm sorry I'm getting so long-winded here, but that, like, would they practice things that they were going to use on the Chiefs for 10 or 15 minutes every week back in the summer even, or is that crazy?
Not crazy. Definitely could do that. You could definitely have things that you work on in training. That is when that stuff is. I remember distinctly last year, it was, or maybe it was 2 years ago, Thanksgiving, maybe it was the Devin Singletary catch, Thanksgiving, John Brown throwing it, or it could have been last year they had the throwback to Allen in Arizona. But I remember after one of those times, when Brian Daboll said, he told us, he said, in training camp and in preseason, like in OTAs and training camp, that's when you do things like that. You find out who can throw, you can find out who can do some extra little things, and then you start to scheme up. I would not be surprised if here's this offensive coordinator who's been with his team for 4 years, knows his team really well. They just had this game last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, two games. He might have seen something where he said, you know what? We're going to try this or try that. Let's work on it a little bit in training camp, in preseason. Let's put it in our back pocket. Let's not show it at all in preseason or through the first four games. We're going to bust it out. That is not crazy at all. I also think that there's just definitely a chance that you know, they held back on some other things, that maybe different kinds of formations or stuff like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, certain plays. Yeah, right. I think that's not crazy at all, Bulldog. And I think that knowing how important this game was, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a premium put on doing that.
And you see that in terms of the snap counts. We talked about Gilliam and Beasley playing the same number of snaps in this game. It's very strange for what the Bills have been, but it was obviously intentional and obviously also effective. Sal Capaccio with us here on the Wester Hotline. What is Kansas City's next move? I mean, there seems like maybe a serious talent gap on the two defenses. And, like, they didn't stop the Bills. They're not stopping anybody. And some of those big plays the Bills made, it wasn't like they were just perfect on offense all night, but the big shots were just easily well enough to win. 15 completions for 315, whatever the number was, passing. Like, what are they going to do? Because they don't look good at all.
Yeah, they better find a way to fix that defense. They're going to lose too many games to be kind of not be where they want to be at the end. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily not even making the playoffs at this point. They're not. I'd have to think that they'd be good enough and outscore enough teams. But, you know, they're going to play enough games where teams are going to be able to score with them if they don't fix what's going on in defense. And because of that, I think they're pressing on offense and they're trying to make sure. I think Patrick Mahomes knows that they might have to score 40 every game. He's thrown a bunch of interceptions this year. Not all. I mean, the one of them went off, you know, Tyreek Hill's hands. Micah Hyde, I think it was Hill's hands, right, that Micah Hyde scores on. So it's not always Patrick Mahomes' fault, not what I'm saying. But I do think that they're pressing a little bit. And now that they don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a few weeks, you know, maybe they even look more to do stuff like that. So, you know, you do things enough, you get good at them enough in this league. As you guys know, teams kind of find a counter. The Bills were like that. Teams found a way to bottle the Bills up last year towards the end of the year. It hurt them. Then Pittsburgh Steelers did in week one. Then you have to adjust. So maybe teams are now just starting to figure out a little bit. We're not going to stop them. We could slow them down. But now you couple that with a defense that's really not very good, and they're in a struggle. So what are they going to do, Mike? I think they have to find out and figure out a way to fix that defense. But, you know, it's not like you can just go out and grab all pros all over everybody's roster and trade for them.
Yeah, it's kind of tough now.
Yeah.
Right.
Really impressive, Sal, that they did the job in coverage without Milano. Like that was a big concern for me. We even had a guy call us during the week, and I was just like Klein, you just can't ask Klein to do the things that you ask Milano to do. You're asking for trouble, and everything worked. And, you know, Klein didn't just rush the passer in this game. He did do some other things. And, I mean, there just weren't a lot of open guys.
No, but we talked about it, guys. We said on the show, we talked about the possibilities. And one of them was, let's maybe they play Saran Neal and play more dime, right? And they did that. You know, that's what they did. First and second down, A.J. Klein. Third down, Saran Neal comes in. You know, the other thing that I think that was really interesting, you know, they didn't have Tre'Davious White just shadow Tyreek Hill around, and this goes back to the point from earlier. They basically just lined up whoever was usually Taron Johnson and said, you're going to beat him, and you're gonna press him, and you're going to beat him. And Taron Johnson did a good job, and Tre'Davious White was on him sometimes. And then Saran Neal lined up on Travis Kelce. If anybody would have gone into that game and said, somebody would have said to you, the Bills are going to have Taron Johnson on Tyreek Hill a lot, and they're going to have Saran Neal on Travis Kelce a lot, on third downs especially. I think most people would say, okay, that's a win for Kansas City. No disrespect to Taron Johnson. He's been great, but that's not a one-on-one matchup. You would typically think that he's going to be able to win the majority of the time if the Chiefs are looking to throw the ball at Tyreek Hill. But they did. They did a really good job of it. Part of it was because Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde just sat back in that shell and said, we're going to trust those guys up front. We don't have to come back. They're not beating us deep. And they just kind of smothered him in that regard. What's the big difference from last year, though? Now they have the horses up front to at least put a little bit of pressure on. That length, that athleticism, this goes back to your point about morphing different game plans. How about morphing different personnel? The last few weeks, Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa have not played all as much as they did early in the year, and now they did again last week. And then you throw in F.A. Obada. And I'm telling you, I believe a big part of that reason is they wanted length to shorten those passing windows. Hey, we're gonna put a lot of DBs here, and then we're gonna put a bunch of guys up front who their wingspans are really long. Good luck trying to find places to pass.
Right, we talked about this on Friday, right, Sal? Or one day last week, right? Like, maybe don't waste your time trying to get there because he's either gonna run away from you or get rid of the ball first. But evidence Rousseau with the interception, right? Like he stops trying to beat his man and recognizes where the play's going and gets a hand up and ends up with an INT.
That's right. Early in the game, they do lose contain on Mahomes and he runs for a 10-yard gain for a first down, right? I mean, and people are doing their jobs, but that's exactly right. So I just think the game plan was terrific. The personnel usage was terrific, but that's really what it's been this year. And going back to your earlier question, from week to week, it seems like it's not only Brian Daboll. Yep, maybe he was working on things in training camp and preseason. But I think just week to week, he's been very good at, you know, figuring out how to attack each opponent. But more than that, even I think, is the defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier, doing that. It just seems that they have a different plan every week. They pressed more this week than I've ever seen them really press, even though they kept those guys back there. It's been really the perfect combination of everything right now.
Well, everything is set up perfectly, because they have the lead in the standings and they have the schedule where they can do a lot more of that, you know? And it's obviously not something they're going to boast about. Yeah, we're not going to give the Dolphins the real stuff, you know? But they should have the opportunity to be very smooth here and play the long game and, you know, also have a great shot at home field throughout, which was the goal, as we've talked about before. Hey, Sal, how about Rousseau? I like how NBC basically introduced Rousseau to their audience, you know, like the story about how the coaches sat at a table and said, all right, who wants to bench this guy? And nobody did.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty good. And, you know, he is really, I mean, player of the week against Kansas City. What were the odds have been on that? That Rousseau as a rookie, right? I mean, think about how we were hearing him described in August, like, you know, project sort of stuff. What were the odds been on Rousseau being the defensive player of the week in the conference after the Chief game? How many players have ever been defensive player of the week after playing Mahomes?
Huh. That's a good question. I'm not sure. The list can't be very long.
Can't be very long.
Could be the very first one.
It's got to be a win, and there aren't many of those, right?
No, and right. We'd have to look at
and
look
the
that
win, and the wins that there are, you might get an offensive player of the week.
Yes.
Right? Like maybe Derek Carr last year or whatever.
Right. Right.
I think he's going to be special. I really do. I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance, you know, to kind of like in the Zoom calls to see him or anything like that. You know, I know you're not down there interviewing him, but I mean, sometimes I'm just struck about how young he is. He just has this, he's a really, really tall guy. He's really long. Then you look at him and he smiles and he talks to you and you think he's like 18 years old. I mean, what he's doing and he's really nice. He doesn't say a lot of words. You know, he just kind of fits into the profile of what you think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean really want in this organization. And I think that's really helped him along the way here as well. But I think he's going to be special. I really do. I did not expect him to be having this kind of a start to his career for sure. Thought he would take a little while. They'd mix him in, see what happens. He is right now, quite arguably, their best defensive lineman. He's leading the team in sacks. And yeah, that's right. How do you take him off the field? They will because, look, I mean, that was a great stat last night. They also had, I'm sorry, Sunday night. They said no defensive lineman on the Bills has played more than 55% of the snaps. No other team has their leader at 55 or less. Like the Bills' leader in snaps on the defensive line is Ed Oliver at 55%. Every other team has at least one player playing more than that. It just goes to show you how they like to rotate in all of the different parts and pieces that go into it. But that's a guy that he's earning more and more playing time. It doesn't matter the situation. You want him on the field. And he's not just doing it against the pass. I mean, some of the plays he made against the run were tremendous. He's a really good edge setter, and he just seems to really understand his own space and his body and things like that.
Yeah, the play that Mike referenced earlier here where White throws Kelsey aside at the end of a play, that's a run play that he gets off his man, like recognizes where it's going, gets off his guy, and just trips up Pelaire, you know, kind of easy for me to say easily, but like he made a really, really good play early in the game on a run play.
And think about the fact that, you know, he was mostly used inside at Miami 2 years ago, didn't even play last year. So, you know, and I know we've talked about Mike, I know you have to say like how, you know, scouting players and a lot of it's luck or whatever and things like that. I think you have to have the foresight to say, look, we're going to put him in our organization. This is the plan we're going to have for him. We're going to put him outside and here's what he's going to be able to do for us. And it's worked out, right? I mean, I think that's really good scouting and understanding your system, your personnel, and what exactly you're looking for.
Did you guys see Mike Zimmer shove Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, is there any way that that was friendly?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like, well, friendly. I think he was just, okay, man, get off of me. I got to go shake the other coach's hand.
Okay, like, that's, I'll listen to that. Like, just get off me right now, all right? Just get off me right now. I'll listen to that.
But not ill-intentioned, like, I'm mad at you for doing it. Just like, okay, enough is enough, right?
Get off
or that there
me.
Was some closeted rage coming out.
I'm
sick of you as my quarterback.
People have wondered about, like, what Zimmer thinks of Cousins. Think of, like, training camp with the vaccine and everything. Like, he just... I don't know. What would Matthew say, probably? I think this sort of feels like Zimmer is ready to move on, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I accept Sal's theory here. It's certainly plausible that it's just, you know, all right, enough.
Did Cousins say you like that? Could you read his lips? Didn't he?
I don't know. I mean, that's what he's famous for, but you can't see his face. You don't know. I don't know what he's saying there. You can't see his face, but Zimmer just like, all right. Okay. Tennessee, Sal, Nashville week, so you'll have a lot of fans complimenting you, I'm sure, coming up to you, looking for you to maybe sign their body parts, all kinds of fun.
It was a boot last time, Mike. Let's get that straight.
Well, let's do better out there.
B-O-O-T. I went on two different Nashville radio stations today, and they asked me about the Bills fans coming to Nashville, and I said, yeah, like, you better be ready. I said, you know, if you're listening to this right now, just understand it's going to be like, you're going to be overtaken by Bills fans. And it's true. 2 years ago, I actually tweeted, and I went back and looked at the tweet that said, like, hey, I've been on the road 6 years with this team. This is the most fans I've ever seen in a road city. And it's true. What I don't know, though, is the Monday night game going to cause less fans to be there because you got to take off Monday and Tuesday, or more because people want to go experience Monday night football? It doesn't matter. It's always a lot of fans down there. It's going to be a lot of fans. And we like to have a good time, and I enjoy going out. I'm a people person, so I don't mind at all running into people and saying hi.
Yes, you are definitely someone I look up to in that area. Very good. All right. Any questions for us, Sal?
Is there anybody you're specifically rooting for in the Final Four of Major League Baseball?
No.
I don't like the Final Four.
Boston,
I'm sorry, Bulldog.
Houston, Atlanta.
It's like my nightmare scenario in the American League.
I hear you. I mean, I'm pulling for Boston, but I would tell you I root for Mookie Betts, but they got to get there still. They got to win tomorrow.
Yeah, I would root for San Francisco over L.A., partly just because L.A. just won. And I like watching games in San Francisco. That's, you know, if that matters in this. So I could root for that, but I don't know. Like, I'm not watching very much of it, actually. Well,
I'm not either, to be honest with
you. Boston, Houston, come on.
I'm checking it out when it's on, but it's like I'm not totally dialed into it. I just can't. It's hard. Gonna say, all right, I'll be over here. I'm going to the Sabres game tomorrow night, so I'll enjoy that.
All right.
Oh, awesome. I watched every minute of that clinching game against Tampa on, Tuesday night? I loved that Tampa came back and tied it, and it was both two nights in a row. I mean, it was a lot of drama. I really enjoyed both those games.
Yeah. Have fun at the hockey game. We'll talk tomorrow, I think. Actually, I'm not sure
we will.
Oh,
before I go, I was a little disappointed you didn't get Steve Largent yesterday.
Thank you. I appreciate that's a compliment, and I appreciate that.
It is.
Allworth was not a bad guess. Like, he's 16th, I looked up to see, but yeah, Largent. The guy, Monson, he's like, he retired, you know, he said, like, since 1990, played before 1990. Like, why would you draw that line? That was my first thought. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't come up with
that. But wasn't that Greg Bauks? Like, didn't he have a Steve Largent poster hanging in our studio or something?
Well, I bought him, Bulldog and I bought him a signed helmet.
Oh, yeah. Of Largent. Like, yeah, that was part of the reason I figured he would be one of the guys top of mind for you.
Yeah, I didn't get there. I cracked. Sorry to anyone who thought I never would crack.
I deferred, Sal. I'll try next week on Monson's question if he's got one.
Yeah. Sal, thanks.
Okay, guys.
There you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Talking about traveling to see the Bills like so many fans are. Did a little bit of that earlier, and just sort of the overall, how great this is, a time this is to be a fan. 803-0550, if you want to talk about that with us, we would like that. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.